This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galleon and Boyd. Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Yeah.
Big Red,
go.
Welcome to the Gret Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe. And that's it for now.
Yeah, that's it. Tweety is might out be, for 3 weeks.
So he says he's in Texas. And of course, Tweety is talking about, like, you know, it's hard to know week to week what is real and what is not, but he's usually railing about something. And this week it was, you know, moving to Texas because there's no state taxes. And I just find it funny that the 1 week he decides to really emphasize the benefits of Texas over California is probably the week when the benefits of California over Texas are most evident, at least in terms of being connected to the power grid.
Well, also, I tried to let him know too, and I don't know, like, if it's different with his business and the way he does things, but so my wife, you know, in the various places where we've lived, she's also taught in other states.
Sure.
Like when we were in California, besides her job at Caltech, she was teaching in Nebraska and Connecticut, and we were paying the state income taxes there.
Of every state. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, don't move all the way to Texas and still have to pay California state income taxes
on,
like,
stuff you're doing. Yes.
That would be the worst.
Absolutely. And congratulations to her and all of the Caltech people involved with Pasadena and the Mars Rover.
Yeah,
not that
JPL.
She was involved per se, but that whole world is, she certainly knows people in that room, right? You were saying?
Yeah, recognize people. Like when you and I watch TV, we're like, hey man, check out that person in that Wendy's commercial. I used to do improv with that person.
You know, now with commercials,
that's a little cooler. What?
Yes. And now with commercials, the last year, since auditions have been so sparse, the only people you see in commercials are the people who run the sessions anymore. Just so you know, folks, if you see a guy in a white guy in a commercial, he's probably the guy who was behind the camera for the auditions.
The funny thing
and they
is,
were like, hey, you're here.
Before, right before COVID hit, I was trying to get one of those jobs just for that purpose.
Oh. They are so hard to get. When I, about 2 or 3 years after I moved here, and I was auditioning, you know, fairly regularly for commercials. I think it was I still am kind of in the loop with the commercials, but I was going in frequently, and I was starting at 200 South La Brea, which is a place that has like 10 auditions going on at one time, constantly very busy. And I went in one time for a training session. And the list was over 200 people deep for subs. And so they said, like,
for someone who runs sessions.
Yeah. You know, I sat there and I watched how I operated the camera and everything. And I have worked in casting, just checking people in mostly and running this, you know, getting them in and out the door, which is busy work essentially.
Yeah.
But the day after I started training, they stopped training people because they were like, we have a list that's 200 deep. It'll take so long calling people to get to you that we will have missed the audition by the time we get there.
Yeah.
So, and most of those guys know somebody and they've got their own like internal system of like, yeah, I'll send this guy over. So it's all, you know, it's hard to break into that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me just one.
No, I didn't.
I have an
off.
Audition in 2 hours, which is ridiculous. Like a Sunday audition that I got yesterday. And I think they're going off my old headshot because it's like businessman type thing where I have the short hair and the mustache. So it's going to be a bit of a shock
to
them.
I normally hate Sunday auditions, but that was what the Glass Animals thing was. It was a Sunday audition. And the breakdown didn't fit me because they had
this is good news.
They, they had fired the director because he apparently kept wanting to make it like his own thing. They're like, no, this is what we want. And, right. But the breakdown still had the thing that the previous director had. But I was like, I don't know. The pictures show Jeff Bridges and I don't exactly give off Jeff Bridges. And it was Sunday.
Not even young Jeff Bridges.
It was Sunday. It was out in West Hollywood. And I was like, I don't think I want to go, but then I did. And then I got it.
And how often is that the story where, you know, reluctance leads to success? Now, I just want to show you this, Pat.
Yeah, you remember I love that Twins logo.
Yeah, so this is a very old Twins hat, and I have no idea. I know I got it from my father, not like a gift. Like I went to my house in New York, and up in the attic was a bunch of crap, and this used to be his. I don't know why, but he would have like random baseball team hats. He's always a Yankee fan, but he would have these hats. And this is from the same era as I have a Nebraska Cornhusker hat that you guys have seen me wear with Herbie Husker on it. Also from the 70s, also like 130% nylon. And you wear one of these things. It's got the mesh in the back, but this is like a winter hat. What is it? The polyester breathes so little, this 80s era polyester. I put the thing on and I was sweating in like a minute. These hats, like hat technology has come a long way.
Oh, it this really has.
Like it looks cool, but it's a piece of shit to wear.
This Husker hat that I got from Tyjon Lindsey's dad is the softest, most comfortable thing I've ever had. You're right. Hat technology has grown. Let's bring it to the state of Nebraska and to Huskers.
Let's do it.
So a couple big time recruits in Nebraska.
Both out of Omaha.
Yeah, both of whom didn't get to play this fall because Omaha Public Schools didn't have fall sports. And which, by the way, they apparently kicked around the idea of playing fall sports in the spring, but they're not going to do that.
Right, like the FCS schools are doing, playing right now.
Yeah.
So two players from Omaha.
Devin Jackson, one from Central
top five.
And one from Burke, I believe. They listed top fives, no Nebraska.
No Big Ten teams. On Rivals, I was looking, and I think the guys who do recruiting there are pretty tuned in, and they had a feeling that this was the way it was going to go. So I wasn't surprised at that. And then I actually went another step further and watched both the interviews of them. And both these guys, I mean, there were no Big Ten teams on, and one of the guys actually had a family connection to Illinois. Both his
Jackson?
Parents went to Illinois, I believe so. And Illinois wasn't on the list either. Both of them said they don't like cold weather.
This is the week to decide.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Don't really want to be in the Midwest.
Yes, because it's like, you know, sub-zero temperatures, correct?
Yeah. No, it got like minus 30 degrees without the wind chill.
Yeah.
In a lot of the state. It got like minus...
That's amazing.
Wind chill in a couple areas.
You know, like listen, everyone in Los Angeles, unless you're like famous, is considering moving out of Los Angeles. You've made the move. Tweety's talked about it. Whoop, sorry. Are you there? Okay. You know, everyone considers it, and my wife and I, we talk about cities and stuff. And Kansas City is one that was kind of interesting to me because I think it's a city that has a lot of stuff going on.
It's a fun city.
Exactly. And in that country, you know, area of the country, you got a football team, you got a baseball team, you've got the Negro League Museum, you've got the Jazz Museum there. There's culture and whatnot going on, barbecue and blues and jazz.
Power and Light District is fun.
Yes.
when there's not COVID going on.
Of course. But stuff, and Atlanta was one city we were thinking about, and just different places where you might be able to do something similar to this, but what you're saying about the weather there, you know, Chicago rarely gets that cold because it's got the lake, which brings water, but keeps it, you know, milder, at least in terms of that. But even that was like very snowy and 20s, and it's so hard to go back.
And those old cities are the worst for snow, like
Yeah.
Cities and old cities like are because you have to do street parking and it's a giant pain in the ass.
Oh, like, and in Chicago, they have the whole dibs thing. Are you aware of that?
Like where you put out a folding chair?
Yeah. You put out a couple folding chairs or some kind
of,
you know.
Yeah, we used to do that, like, in Pennsylvania.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, like, New Hampshire, when we were there, they just, like, removed, like, all, like, there were just parking lots, like, and you may have to walk a little bit to get to your house, but then they just took all those bottom up for, like, ritzy condos. So there was like nowhere for anyone in the town to park unless you had your own house and garage, and it was the worst. So I, like, a place where I did stand up, I was like, hey guys, do you mind if I just, like, use your parking lot and walk a half mile to my house?
I actually in Chicago, when I was doing free shows at Improv Olympic or wherever it was called at the time, I remember one night at a Friday, at like a Friday 10:30 show or Saturday 10:30 show, and down in Wrigleyville parking is impossible. So there's a spot right behind the theater that is the owner's spot, and I know her, and she's not there. It's Saturday or Friday at 11. She's not coming in, and I park there, and someone tells her I'm parked there, and she calls and she's like, I'm gonna have your car towed. I'm like, I'm here on a Friday or Saturday night at 10:30 making your ass money and getting no money back, and you're going to tow my car? So I had the whole audience text her the word selfish.
Did it work?
Well, what do you mean, did it work? I got kicked out of the theater for a while.
Did you get towed?
I did not get towed because I left right after the show. That I, like, I said that, and then I went and got my car and left.
I wish this is... This is the moment that I wish Tweety were on this podcast.
Yes.
I'm assuming I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Yes, you do know. And he would be yelling about that. But yeah, we've gone one half second into Nebraska and then taken it out for a 10-minute treatise on the cold.
Well, so I have a couple different thoughts on
the two players,
the young Omaha kids deciding that Nebraska is not in their top five. Top fives at this point are completely fluid.
Yes. No one's taken a visit anywhere.
Yeah. And then on top of that, like, the thing that will get Nebraska in those conversations is winning. Like, Nebraska is not a cool brand right now because Nebraska is not a winning brand at the moment. Yep. And that's just, like, across the board with
everything but
volleyball. Yep. So, you know, if Nebraska gets off to a rip-roaring start and starts to show some measure of progress this year,
yes,
that'll change.
Because we have the infrastructure to support being really good. You know what I mean? Like, if Nebraska has the infrastructure to be cool.
Yeah.
Their uniforms, their color scheme is cool. Their facilities are top of the line and getting and going to be building more. And you're right. That is the one thing. Like, cold, you can never do anything about that. But
even Texas was cold this week.
I mean, everything is in the Midwest. You find out that, yeah, California, and really just this chunk of California, I was looking at something about the Arctic blast that comes down. The only reason the area of LA is such great temperature is there's two mountain ranges, the Rockies and another one, that keep anything from getting in.
Well,
and then Florida. Those are your only guarantees for not getting cold.
And here's the thing there, like, California, a big reason that, like, really spurred Emma to want to get out of there was the constant terrible fires every fall. Like, that terrified her more than earthquakes.
Really? Where you lived, you were fine. The fires were not going to get to Burbank, but...
Well, that's what I always said too, but she raised a valid point. She's like, you think you control nature until you don't.
Yes, that is true. That is true. The Chicago fire didn't take long. Now, that's different on a bunch of buildings. But an earthquake during the fire season would be...
devastating.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got earthquakes and fires in L.A. And
unless the tsunami came in and took care of all the fire.
But then you've got hurricanes in... well, in all of virtually all of SEC country. So,
well,
like,
yes. And Elon Musk is going to build tunnels under Florida. So the whole state will probably sink at some point. Just it'll, in like a matter of a week, Florida will suddenly be just the panhandle.
The worst part of Florida.
Yeah. Well, that'd be the entire part of Florida.
I mean, it's weird, though, that the Florida panhandle gets called the panhandle because, like, every part of Florida, if you arrange it right, looks like a panhandle.
There are, it's a, every part of Florida is also like a gross penis, however you want to shake it out, so to speak.
Yeah, good choice of words.
So I'm sorry. I got you off track about the Omaha
kids. It's fine. My other thought with that, though, is so with those two kids, and you know, they've been high level recruits like from basically the minute they stepped on a high school field, but
yes,
you lose key moments in the recruiting process when you miss out on an entire season as a high schooler. And so part of me thinks too, it's a smart game to go ahead and list your top five as like the five biggest possible schools you could, to just really create that sort of narrative for yourself, and then you can go from there.
And you may get offers off of that, actually. And it's unfortunate right now that it seems like we are in a very fruitful time for Nebraska high school football players. Good and bad. It's good to have that many players in your region, but right now, if we had a season. Like a regular season, those guys would have been to three Nebraska home games last year.
Yeah.
Whether Nebraska's in their top five or not, Nebraska would have said, hey, come to all the home games.
Yeah, just be an unofficial visit.
Absolutely. And they do that with all the local players. Yeah. And you don't know what the negative impact of not having it right now is, because they've not been to any Nebraska games when normally they would have been to a bunch and seen. They would have seen, win or lose, the differences of what being at a Nebraska game is versus other places.
Yeah.
So that's absent right now. And I know we have a lot of good high school players in this next class and maybe the one after as well. So that's why, you know, we said it, that last year was so important for Nebraska and didn't work
it
out.
Was.
This is too. And the effects of, it's hurting Nebraska because a lot of the strong points of Nebraska are affected more severely by this COVID thing.
Do you think Nebraska would have been, like, in hindsight, Nebraska would have been better off if the season had just been canceled?
Yes. There would have been more defections. And I don't know who would have stayed this year.
Yeah.
In the defense, you know, like, but you also don't know, like, would Robinson have stayed? Did he get misused last year to the point that he decided to leave? It the fact that it's a question at all points to the fact that what a disappointing season it was, because there was, you know, there was so much on the line. We needed to play.
Yeah.
And really all we needed was a 500 season, and we didn't get that.
Just something that was yeah. 500 would have been the one thing that would have, like, one, at least a positive step each year.
And they may, and who knows if they're 500, maybe they want to go to the bowl game. You know, you just, it's a butterfly effect, I suppose, in terms of where everything could have gone.
And maybe they would have had a 500 season with, like, a regular season that includes, like, non-conference against lower tier teams.
And crowds. And you just, there's no way to, it's in a way kind of amazing that they ended up with the Final Four that they did, but in another way, it's not so amazing last year, you know, because it was like
college football playoff.
Yes. It was a status quo. They could have picked up that Final Four, you know, maybe except for Notre Dame, without playing any of the games.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they
would have been considered anyway.
I just, and I thought it was a big opportunity missed for college football in an effed up season to put in a Cincinnati or something, just to, like,
I agree.
Just to say, we normally wouldn't, but God, you know, everything is so screwed up. Let's, but it became even more to give the Blue Bloods their due. you know, to pay homage when suffering to them.
If I were like a non-Power Five school, I'd be like, what the hell is the point?
Exactly.
Of us. Like, yes. We're just here for yes. buying you guys. Like,
it's insane. Like, yes.
Like, there are some legitimately good teams. And I realize, you know, conference schedule between the AAC and the ACC isn't exactly the same. But, like, it's been proven time and time and time again that there was a pretty good period of UCF football. And it's, like, it's become
desirable.
What?
And Boise State.
Yeah, and they've both become desirable landing spots for coaches.
For coaches.
Like.
Yes.
Like, honestly, you line up Central Florida against Purdue.
Central Florida, I mean, that's a huge school. Huge recruiting imprint right there.
Yeah, I think the Cincinnati that you pointed out. Like, that's producing, like, the Travis Kelce's of the world.
There's going to be 64 teams. I don't see why you don't go to 64 teams.
For just Division One.
Division One.
Or FBS.
And that's where relegation can come in. Although relegation in college is a different thing. We were talking about relegation earlier because you have conference affiliations and they're amateurs and stuff like that. But some kind of penalty. I know that the Cobcast crowd does not like soccer, and I'm going to bring it up later as well. Some does. But one of the greatest things about soccer, and you have to consider, these leagues have been around much longer than most of our leagues. So they figured out what works, what doesn't work. And the concept of relegation, where if you're shitty enough, you're out of the league for a year. That keeps more teams interested.
Well, and the other thing of that is, too, so you have, I'd say, even though it's professional sports, European soccer, I think, is a lot more like American college sports than American.
It is. It's so localized.
And, like, especially now with the transfer portal and the likelihood of some form of reimbursement for college athletes,
players.
They're going to be even more similar. And, like, it is kind of astounding with both American college sports and especially American pro sports, the, like, basically how teams and schools can just be permitted to just throw seasons away because they're like, whatever, like, doesn't affect
them. But they're, people, because there's no,
we'll still make the same amount of money. We'll still either get that Big Ten money or that NBA money or whatever.
And we'll get a better draft pick. It's too much rewarding the losers.
Yeah. Like, it is. I think, yeah.
Well, you know why?
Makes a season super, super, super interesting.
And also
very tortuous.
And all these leagues were not nearly as centralized as the NFL or the NBA. And, you know, you got different owners and everything. And it was more loosely affiliated at first. And like you said, all these teams are kind of connected to a town. You know, that's why in England you have a tournament where from the semi-pro teams up through Manchester United are in a tournament together. You know, and obviously it's very lopsided, and the Premier League teams have like four byes before they get into the tournament. But like, that is so interesting to the whole country then. And whatever your team did in another thing, they have these multiple competitions that keep you invested and involved, and they figured out how to do that in different ways, as opposed to our leagues, where it's a centralized league that kind of controls everything. So all the money, or a portion of the money, gets put into this thing. And that's, like you say, we don't have to win because we're going to get our cut of the pie anyway from the teams that do win. There's just no consequences.
I would love it if there were like a college football version of the FA Cup, just like spread out throughout the season, like they do with soccer, where like a Division II school like Minnesota Crookston can play like Michigan, and Michigan, Jim Harbaugh has to decide, oh, well, coming up like Saturday, we have to play Michigan State, so I probably better play my second string quarterback against Crookston just to be safe. And then Crookston like has a chance
to
pull off the upset. That would be a blast. Well,
how you could do kind of the non-conference season, maybe, you know, 2 weeks at the top and then 2 weeks somewhere in the middle of the season. And that kind of determined, no, they wouldn't do that because you can't tell. There's no guarantees. And these folks are.
It's all about the guarantees. It's all about
they're
the
risk averse. Right.
Yeah.
And so the competition for the fans doesn't matter as much as the bottom line for those guys. And that's sports in general in this country.
It's better business in American sports. Like you could buy.
But is it?
Well, no, honestly, yeah. Like the Milwaukee Bucks sold for over $1 billion. The Milwaukee Bucks, and this was a few years ago before they were like any good, like the Milwaukee Bucks, like like not a large market team that anyone thinks of in
one championship in its history that was 40 years ago.
You buy in and you have the guarantee basically that the value of your franchise is going to at least double by the time
that's part of the big con that pro sports teams pull on the public and everything. Like I will never publicly fund any stadium.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't control where your taxes go and stuff, but I would never be in favor of that. And in this country, it happens all the time. It's just
ridiculous.
And it
happens like every 15, 20 years. Like
the Atlanta stadium was 22 years old or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of. That's crazy. And
both Texas and Atlanta built new stadiums before their old ones were 30 years old.
And like, there's just, so like basically you buy in, there's a salary cap. So there's a limit to the amount of your own money that you can risk. And, I mean, I know we've drifted into pro sports here.
We have, but it's the whole money. Your point of money is the thing. And let me just say,
like, there's just so many bad business decisions in Europe that are buying soccer clubs. Like you stand so much risk there, but what were you going to,
I was going to say baseball cries about money, no fans this whole season. And then Tatis, a 21-year-old guy, gets a $340 million contract. Over 14 years. Like you can't pay two guys on your team in San Diego, a small market, $30 million a year and tell us that the league is in trouble.
And people will be mad at the players, but it's like, dude,
no,
you got to take that.
Absolutely.
Like, what are you going to do? Turn down $30 million from a billionaire because,
you take
those players
it.
Are overpaid.
Well, and there's too many billionaires. That's the problem. You know, Second City sold for $50 million.
Jesus Christ.
$50 million. You know how much money and that was mostly for their material. And I figured this out until like 2003, no one got paid for writing material at Second City. I mean, you got paid to perform in the shows, but the material was theirs forever. So stuff Steve Carell, Farley, all those guys wrote. The van down by the river scene's the Second City scene. And they, once they started paying people, even from 2003 up through 2020, by my figure, they spent less than $400,000 on the material at that time. And basically the material is all they were worth. And that sold for $50 million.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it was bought by the guy who also owns Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to do to the business.
There will be more people punching fake prostitutes.
Perhaps. Maybe all of us in Second City will get to be a character in one of these games that like walks up to you and is like, hey, what the hell is your problem? Boom, boom, boom.
So bringing it back to the relegation thing, by the way, the tangents, people love the Ernie Chambers tangent at the end of last week's episode. So,
all right.
I think we're fine. Patrick Gerhardt was real curious, like why Tweety said that he would love that segment. And I think it's because Tweety confused Patrick Gerhardt with another former Corn Nation person.
Probably.
But Tweety didn't remember it, so we couldn't get his reasoning.
That's one of the problems with Tweety.
Yeah, but so getting it back to the relegation, but
yeah,
would we basically, depending on how many people get relegated from either FBS or the Big Ten, we would have had to have been relegated by this point, right?
Absolutely. But again, with relegation,
would we be playing in the Sun Belt?
Yes, but we might have gotten like an 8-win season and then we're back in and things are looking good again. Who knows? But yeah, we would have been relegated every year.
I will say this, you know, while we're trumpeting what we think is a good system of sports with relegation and promotion between different levels of competition mm-hmm. in soccer, while we think that would be good for American sports, if people think that coaches are hired and fired too quickly in American sports right now, with relegation potentially on the line, that would get ramped up
even more quickly. Every league would be like hockey. Like hockey seems to have firings at the beginning of the season and then near the end of the season. Like hockey will fire a coach at any time, even in the playoffs, it's happening. Yes, exactly. And I think those sports in some ways are similar in that, you know, so much of it is, there's so much teamwork in soccer and hockey, I think more than any other. You know, football, you draw up the plays, but you play, it's all done beforehand. In basketball, one guy can just dominate and break through any plan and improvise a win. But in hockey and soccer,
it's a little bit of a simplification, but I see what you're saying.
It is. But in hockey and soccer, you don't like Messi cannot affect a game like LeBron. Maybe Wayne Gretzky was the one guy who was a one man wrecking crew. But I think in those sports, you need the team to be behind the coach or else it's just there's no teamwork. There's no camaraderie. And so your sport is going to suck. Like if the coach of the Lakers and LeBron don't get along, if LeBron wants to win 10 games to show the coach that he sucks, he can do it. You know what I mean? Like there's just more in these other sports, hockey, I think, and soccer, the coach being liked or respected at least is paramount. Nothing happens without that. And I think in other sports, you might be able to get away with it. That's I could be wrong.
I got to think more.
Yeah. And that was a formed opinion just now. So I do want to say, so our quarterback coming, I know this is a bit of another tangent, but something I mentioned to you, the quarterback coming in for us next year, what is his name?
Heinrich Harburg.
Yes. I want to say Nebraska fans are probably going to like that guy. His last name's Harburg. He's kind of a Nebraska kid. He's got that Scandinavian background and everything. I'm inviting, this is a crossover now. We were talking about soccer. I'm inviting the state of Nebraska to look up Erling Haaland.
Haaland.
Yes. If these next few years for Nebraska continue in the same way they are, Erling Haaland will bring you joy.
By the way, he's not a quarterback recruit, so don't go get
No. This is a soccer player. This is a soccer player who looks like Heinrich Harburg. He's like 6'4".
Is he that tall?
He's tall. He's so fast, and he scores a goal per game. Okay? That doesn't happen. That's like Gretzky-level scoring versus anyone else. He's got the Scandinavian. You could convince yourself he's a Nebraska kid, and he's the most exciting player in the world's most popular sport. So you can say our soccer talk sucks, but if you want to pick one player who kind of almost could be a Nebraskan, except he's from Norway, and he's like Nakamadan Sue dominant.
Say Sue's first name again.
Nakamadan, say it.
Ndamukong. I have a soccer counter. Okay. Especially if it's
Erling Haaland. He scored a goal yesterday. It was crazy. Go on.
Especially if you're a fan of a violent sport like American football. Okay. I vote, and this is a guy who doesn't play anymore, but I vote you look up old videos of Duncan Ferguson, who's now a coach for Everton, because that dude was violent and fun. He went to jail for headbutting a guy so hard during a game when he was still playing in Scotland. And he had there were two dudes that broke into his home when he was playing for Everton, and he subdued them until the cops got there, and he beat up one so badly that one sued him. But because he had broken into his home and
he had
trying
no case
to rob him, that didn't go anywhere. So that's my guy when it comes to soccer.
Yeah, I mean,
dudes.
Yeah.
He's also tall. He's like my height. He's crazy.
He could have been like a linebacker in American football or something.
Yeah, dude's crazy, and I love him for that reason.
All right.
I vote just look up YouTube clips.
Does he have
a Duncan
highlight
Ferguson
reel of fouls?
I think so, yeah. There's a bunch of him just like headbutting people, ripping off his shirt, yelling at people. I feel like if Tweety was going to have a favorite soccer player.
I was just about to say, that's a Tweety-style player. So you've got both ends of the spectrum. You've got the beauty of the game, a remarkable athlete who again, looks like a Nebraska kid. And I know sometimes that's important to people there. And
what are you saying, Joe? Are you?
I'm not even going to get into the fact that I found out this week that Rush Limbaugh's two favorite teams were the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh,
yeah. That's all I'll say. Yeah, I know. But that makes me feel good that hopefully he won't be poisoning Husker fans' minds. So, yeah, those are a couple of options for you to look to maybe see if there's anything in that game to tempt you.
Also, don't make implications about our audience, Joe.
It wasn't about the I'm just saying it was about him. I'm saying he's a poisoner.
I know.
Whatever anyone else is up to them.
But you made implications before.
Oh, yes.
I feel like.
Yes. The world's a better place without a guy like that.
I'm going to stop using the word implications, and I'm going to move us away from anything veering toward politics, because
absolutely,
that's not this podcast.
No.
But although I will say, I want to double back. People weirdly liked the Ernie Chambers conversation. I thought we were going to get eaten alive on Twitter for that.
Yeah, that is interesting. But you know what? It was informative, quite frankly.
Well, because you didn't know much about him, did you?
I did not. And so that was really enlightening for me.
Well, that's what we're here for, Joe, to help you
enlighten me.
About...
Yes. Well, it happens every time. So,
speaking of Twitter, because I can't find necessarily any old tweets right now, but I do or at us. But there was, did you see the video that Nebraska shared of the team playing dodgeball this week?
I saw a little bit, just a second of it, like kind of going through my thing. Was it the football team or the basketball team?
It was a football team.
Football team playing dodgeball.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing, and I mentioned it on Twitter. I would really like it if our quarterback's coach looked like he had thrown any sort of ball ever in his life. But to be fair, he was carrying a 50-pound backpack on his back. He had like a school backpack. Mario Verduzco is one of the
like
strangest coaches
probably, yeah,
I've ever seen involved with any team.
It's interesting because, you know, this is his highest profile job, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So, again, you don't know in a few years if this, you know, like there are probably a lot of coaches like this who are oddballs, and many of them don't make it up to the big level where you get to find this out about them.
I feel like most of them are pitching coaches.
Pitching coaches are weird. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
especially
lefties. Lefties. I was going to say, definitely. I think strength and conditioning coaches are, I don't know about weird, but psychotic might be a better word for them.
Yeah. That's
because there's a certain
assessment.
Personality. I think that you need. For a pitching coach, you probably encounter a lot of weirdos, so it might be good to have a little bit of that. And strength and conditioning, you have to be a bully, essentially, of sorts. But bullying is not as popular as it once was, so there are different rules.
Yeah. Send us your comments.
We want comments and questions, because that also during this dead period, which again the NCAA extended, just to bring that into play, we need all the help we can get for content.
Yeah, well,
and especially with Tweety, you know, going off on his journey of tax independence.
there's far less to yell at when no one's mad at each other. Joe and I get along.
Tweety, yes. I mean, Tweety, I think, could probably yell at either of us, but it's best when all three of us are here, because then Tweety really brings out my yelling, and it also, Pat, becomes absolutely necessary as a function to keep the podcast going and not have it just be a yelling argument.
It's not that I haven't gotten mad at him on the podcast.
He
injured my finger once because I pointed at him wrong.
That's right. That was probably like 2-3 years ago. Seems like 10 years ago because we haven't been in that room in forever. But yeah, you pointed and what, he jabbed your finger or something?
Yeah, like he grabbed my finger and I thought he dislocated it for a second. Yeah.
And over like a dumb argument.
Yeah. Because I don't think I was mad. I was just more just like he wasn't listening, and
yes.
So I was just like, I just pointed, and he took that as a real sign of disrespect. He lives by like gang rules, like you don't,
or like the rules of like a pack of dogs. Like if you look at him wrong, it's like, hey, what's that all about?
Don't make eye contact with Tweety too long.
Don't make eye contact. Don't put your finger too close to his face. These are all the same rules you have when you go to an animal.
If he starts humping your leg, just let it go.
It won't be more than a few seconds.
Is that the note we're going out on?
I feel like it's not going to get better than that.
All right, well, follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on facebook.com/cobcast. Go to patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast and drop in a couple bucks, you know.
Yeah,
keep this thing
that'd
going
be great. Yeah, just a dollar a month becomes 30 cents or something to each of us.
Sally Struthers?
Yeah, exactly. I've always been a big Sally Struthers fan. And if you hear any of the insults we had for Tweety, he probably doesn't listen. So make sure he knows.
Yeah.
It's the only way he ever pays attention to episodes when he's not on them, is if he finds out we said something about him. So mission accomplished.
I don't even think he cares about that anymore.
But
maybe being gone 3 weeks, he'll come back fully rejuvenated and ready to bite our heads off.
A Tweety who's been away a couple weeks is always a little bit more enthused.
Chomping at the bit.
Yes. Because he's had thoughts to chew on for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he never really, he never digests or thinks about his thoughts. He just has the thought and then chews on it and then spits it back out really... just as a mashed up version of what it came into his mouth.
Oh God, that's just all gross.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I feel like he's baby birding us. Yeah, that'll do it.
All right.
Fatty rides a bus.
Pat.
You
Fatty
too.
Rides a bus.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweety.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.